Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorrimple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Concrete, Hector Duff, and Manx Christmas Traditions. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles and, of course, online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshounds Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hiya.
Plus newspaper sales and distributions Katie Kitchener.
Hi.
And Grace Burns.
Hiya.
Full house once again.
Yeah.
Very exciting. We probably should be huddled together for warmth because Nigel is very cold today.
Freezing.
You've got your scarf on, Grace.
Yeah,
you're still...
It's more like a blanket than a scarf, to be honest, but it's still not enough.
How's everyone's week been, Paul? Been good week?
Yeah, very much so.
Sam?
I think so.
Oh.
Relatively fine, yeah.
Relatively fine.
That's an improvement on most weeks.
Sound like a semi-sonic song.
You know when you know how we got this damp patch, which I've spoken of before?
Oh.
I'm convinced it's got bigger again.
It definitely has that. Looks bigger.
Well, where is that on the floor upstairs? That will be where they...
I don't want to know.
Oh, that's where the toilet is, isn't it? Oh, no.
Is there anything up there? No, wouldn't you just be getting things to the warehouse?
Tell you what there is up there that we've never commented upon before is those NSPCC folders with the scariest child in the world on the front.
Wow.
Looks like some of that Chucky, doesn't it? Anyway, that's enough about Nigel. But lots to get through this week. How are we all getting excited about Christmas? Now we're in almost 2 weeks to go. Anyone started their Christmas shopping yet?
Yes.
Oh, just... Oh. Paul, have you started yours?
We only just put our tree up.
I haven't put our tree up yet.
So what?
No, this weekend, I think.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough.
I think I get to... Well, we've got a one-year-old who's probably going to pull it down. He's a bit like a cat.
You're playing a one-year-old, so you come home drunk one night. Knock it over.
What have you done? We're sort of trying to limit the damage, as it were. He's also very into Christmas lights at the moment.
How's he know? In your house is Scrooge McDuck.
Well, I take him for walks around the block and show him what he could have won. he likes splashing lights at the moment. But everyone else got the deckies up, yeah?
Yeah, all up.
Katie?
Yeah, they were all up at the end of November.
Have you got any particulars? Because the Spanish, I don't know about in South America, but in Spain they have the Christmas decorations about the poo, don't they? Have you heard about this?
It's
Catalonian, isn't it?
It's the log that poops presents.
Yeah. And
never had that in Argentina. They do have the Three Kings that come on, I think it's 12th night that they come on,
yeah.
And you leave a bowl of water and some hay outside your bedroom door. That's for the camels. And you leave your shoes outside the door and the Three Kings leave presents in them.
So that's on the 12th?
Yeah.
12th night?
And for some reason, the local firemen from the fire station would dress up as the Three Kings and drive the fire engine around the park and chuck sweets out for everyone.
So you say, so that's 12th night, so that's January then?
I think so, yeah.
So do you think it's a lot of unwanted gifts exchanged at that point? You know, people have got,
I think it's just more the religious element of it rather than the...
commercial.
The red man coming with the presents.
See, now, I've always assumed that Santa took the carrot out to the reindeer, right? But how does it work with the camel? Do they come in, or do they have to, take it outside for the camel, for the hay?
Well, I mean, in general, the fact of three Middle Eastern kings visiting the households of everyone in the Catholic world is quite far-fetched anyway. So I think they have ways of getting the camels into the house.
Oh, so the camels come in?
Well, yeah, because they have to drink the water left outside.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's a lot of water for camels, though, because they don't have to drink much, do they?
Because they do retain it in the
hump.
Yeah. Maybe that does them for the year.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think so. I don't think I've made
Well, don't they turn it into fat and they store that and then they break that down?
We're getting ready for the quiz at the work party here.
I've done the questions. They're not that intellectually.
You've not gone camel round.
Grace now goes to the Christmas carol. camel round.
It's a good job. Before we actually discuss some news, we should point out is our Christmas party tomorrow. Grace, you've sort of pulled everything together, haven't you?
I have.
Should we be excited? Should we be scared?
A bit both. I'd be scared and excited.
Why'd you look at me when you said scared?
Because you mean especially scared.
Can you reveal any, or is it all going to be?
No, we've got to be top secret.
Okay.
Got a good music round though.
Oh, we've got a music round.
Yeah,
amazing balls. Okay, well, we'll report back on that next week if our hangovers aren't too bad.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, let's start with this week's first news story then, Sam, and it's about some concrete. Now, some very special concrete, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was red.
It was red.
It's now sort of pink.
Pink?
Definitely more pink than red, really. It's faded quite a bit.
And where was this?
It's on the promenade, Andrew.
Oh, the much-discussed?
The much-discussed promenade.
Okay.
But I want you to think back. Do you remember when we first saw the red concrete? We were all amazed.
We were like, oh, that's red concrete.
That's a bit new.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
You know, the Manxness came out in all of us and we're all, it's a bit different. Well, they've dug it up.
Okay. Now, just a little bit, though, isn't it? It's not the whole...
It's just a little bit down at the bottom of Summer Hill.
Okay.
So down like Strathallan end. Because apparently, get this, there was a welding fault.
Underneath the concrete.
It's like all of the biggest funny stories of the year coming back round, really, isn't it? The red concrete, which is pink, which everyone hates, and it has to be dug up, and the prom's not getting finished in time. And, of course, there was the massive kickoff involving the welders who broke lockdown laws and went to prison.
But it's not the same welders.
But it's not the same welders.
Because they were on the tram.
It's just nice to see welders come back round, you know. How often do you get that many headline stories about welders?
It's been their year on the island,
exactly.
Really, hasn't
it? Perhaps it's the Chinese year of the welder. We should never know.
That would be interesting.
So they've dug it up.
Yeah. And they're fixing this now. Dave Neil went down, and when he was taking his pictures, he spoke to a couple of the lads who were doing the work. And they said, don't worry, we've definitely been here 2 weeks. So they were well aware of what was going on.
Yeah. We haven't been to Tesco.
No, they were keeping well away from all the other everybody else, everything has followed. And that was what they were doing. Basically, there was a welding fault, which meant that the tram line was sort of bending, going further down than it should have done.
So this is in the proposed horse tram track, yeah?
Yeah, slash modern tramway thing.
A monorail? Well, no, it's going to have two, isn't it?
We did talk about monorail, which would be cool.
Is it better than Shelbyville's?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, but this is basically it. So it's another fantastic tale of success on Douglas's promenades.
So they've done that all now, and they're confident they won't have to dig it up again.
Yes.
Great stuff. So where can we find not only pictures, but the full story for this? Is it in the Examiner this year?
I believe, yeah.
Yes, which Katie's available as a digital edition if you can't get to the shops, isn't it?
It is available from iomtoday.co.im and click on digital editions. Yeah. And I think it's still £1 on our website.
£1 fish.
Is it still cheap if you subscribe?
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's currently £1.20 in shops.
Yeah,
so.
subscribe. If it's the one thing we could tell you to do, is just subscribe.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Moving on to our next story, a bit of change of pace, Paul. It was Head of Duff's funeral today, and you're among the congregation in St Peter's, Paul.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the most memorable occasions of my young journalistic career so far. It was a private funeral, but I would say with the amount of top brass that were packed into that church, it was probably the closest thing the island could have to a state funeral. Mm-hmm. You had Lieutenant Governor, Chief Minister, Speaker of the House, multiple MHKs, and a honour guard assembled outside the church, which had, you know, police in their ceremonial uniform and all the standard bearers from all the British legions across the island.
And I noticed there's some wonderful pictures from Dave of the funeral cortege going through Onken, obviously Hector's home village, and there was 44 school kids from Onken School lining the path to St Peter's Church, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very poignant the way everybody sort of stood to attention to pay their respects along the main road, and it just sort of showed you what a pillar of the community was, and you know how active he was in the schools and right up until his death, really.
And then after the service, which was, as you say, sort of limited to close friends and family, there was going to be a celebration of his life at the villa this afternoon, wasn't it?
Yep, there was.
That was where everyone else could sort of come and share their memories of Hector, who we discussed last week, had a wonderful and very celebrated life, didn't he? I think, what was it, the eulogy? It was described, he had 5 layers of life?
Yes, yeah, taking us through, you know, mainly a family man, and then his wartime service in 1940, obviously, and then his 25 years in the police, and sort of just...
Then as a driving instructor.
Yes, yeah.
And then, obviously, going out and educating...
All his remembrance activities and that sort of thing. And as I said, the amazing thing about Hector was just how active he was right up until 101. We only just did that feature of him about his birthday.
Yeah.
Where they visited him in that armoured car and he looked at it. He apparently ran down steps to take a look and he just looked at it and went, it's the wrong colour.
Yeah, so there's more on that in this week's Courier, which will hopefully be coming for your doorstep. Doorstep? Door letterbox.
There we
go.
It shouldn't be left on your doorstep. It
should be coming through your letterbox. Yes. Firmly pushed through.
Yeah, but it's not the USA. It's the Isle of
Man. Yeah, especially with the weather it is at the moment.
Yeah.
At some point this weekend, but of course you can get it as online, free online, can't you?
It's free there every Friday morning, so if there is bad weather, you go online
and have a look at Paul's wonderful piece on the funeral.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on to the feature that continues to sweep a nation, Grace. Now, last week, what did we did the Snaefell, didn't we? The Snaefell.
Yeah, the Snaefell. And I tried to keep it topical each week, so I don't know if anyone's gone ice skating recently. That's just opened. Has anyone been?
Never been ice skating.
Have you not?
No.
Wow.
I went once when it was down to St John's, and you know them little penguins that they give to kids because they fall over? I was offered one of them.
Oh.
Did you take it?
Yeah.
Over. With the penguin?
Yeah, because they're really low down.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you're... Right,
yeah.
Would be an issue there.
Paul, have you ever ice skated in your globe-trotting career?
Twice.
Ooh.
Twice.
Where?
Once when I was a kid at an ice rink in Austria, and the second time about 10 years later at a hockey rink at the University of Maine, actually.
Oh, right, there you go.
Wow.
Clang. Bit of a name drop. Casey, have you ever been ice skating?
Been ice skating in Birmingham.
None of us have been. Well, is the one a big one in New York? Is it Times Square? Is it something like
Rockefeller
Plaza? Rockefeller Plaza. No.
That's probably.
I've seen it. But,
I've seen it on Home Alone.
I've seen it. I've been to New York in December. I've seen it, but I was like, oh, it looks a bit.
Didn't have any penguins.
Sam, you never mentioned travel ever. You've been to New York in December.
Twice, yeah. I went to San Francisco, I don't worry about that either.
I know, the only time you ever talk about is how rubbish Barbados was.
It's too hot, mate. I can't deal with that.
Man's not hot.
Man was too hot.
So ice skating then?
Yes, so we've gone ice skating. And then from this morning, we were talking about Brexit and the implications that would have on food over here.
Okay.
Most specifically,
I can't wait to see how you've gone with this one.
So I've gone, would you rather get your finger sliced off like ice skating or never be able to eat foods from other countries ever again? So you'd have to be pyotzy, I thought.
Straight away.
But so you're not allowed to eat like pasta, brie, which really upset me this morning that could be affected due to Brexit.
But then you get, like, there is Manx pasta now, isn't there? Like,
an array of, like, hams and cheeses I'll never be able to access, like, Parma ham or proper mozzarella, which has to be grown in the specific region of Italy, right?
And just meats. Covers a lot of sin.
Which finger?
I've left that up to choice. I was going to say, like, thumb, because I feel like that'd be, like,
but a left thumb,
that'd
right
be a bit
thumb.
Of it. They'd have to proper go.
They'd have to go.
Are we talking the whole finger or like a percentage?
Yeah, a good, whole finger.
Yeah, I could put up with that finger.
I'd definitely go,
I told you, Mr. Kitchener's only drawback to half a finger is sensing the weather. So I'd happily take a bit of a missing finger to never give up, imported Argentine meat.
Mm-hmm. Finger or pork?
Well, I'd have to go with the dull British food, I think.
Manx food, it's only Manx food.
Just
Manx food's not dull. What? Don't we say that? Manx food's ace.
No, Manx food is excellent.
But you'd have to go with your potato crisps.
Yeah, I'm losing a finger.
You think though, you want to go to Pizziola or order a pizza from there?
Yeah.
They would have to have Manx ingredients on their pizzas, otherwise you're not allowed that pizza then.
So, for example, you could go to, say, Black Dog Pizza at the Dog's Nollocks.
Yeah.
Up in Peel. Through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is
for the rest of December. Yeah.
Hi, Mike! And so you could do that, where he has all locally sourced Manx produce, freshly milled bread and all sorts.
And his tomatoes and everything. Yeah.
So you could do that. So I could eat. I come back in the game.
I think you could. I think there's more options than you think there is.
It's the potatoes which is the problem.
But then, where else that there's no Manx crisps? Is there?
That's a problem.
We could.
No Manx salsa. Morgan's if you wanted pies. Like Doritos and dip.
I had one the other day. It was immense.
What about your avocados?
I can.
Really. Wow, you're playing to the crowd here.
Yeah.
I'd lose a finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still have to go. lose a finger.
Also, I don't know if Pizzaiolo do use Manx ingredients or not. I was just thinking of an example.
I'm sure a lot use more now than they have done in the past.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd go hashtag eat Manx.
Same.
Okay.
No, I'd lose part of a finger.
So it's 3-2. Well, that's interesting. We haven't had a split debate before.
What happens when you go on holiday? Do you have to bring your own Manx?
He brings Monster Munch with him usually anyway.
I do not take Monster Munch on holiday.
That wouldn't even surprise me.
Tell you what I do though.
Yorkshire tea.
I do Yorkshire take Yorkshire tea. I also take, you know, them giant Tobo and you get in airports.
Yeah.
I get 2 or 3 of them like on the way out because you can never trust the chocolate in foreign countries.
He's following Grandad.
Neil and in between is packing cereal.
He also dances like him. Right, Grace, superb again. I can't wait to see. We're going to have some Christmas-themed ones short in the next...
We'll have to. Well, last week's was kind of Christmassy, but after...
So we involved Christmas jumpers.
Well, yeah. I'll do a more festive one next week.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week in history, Sam, we go all the way back to Friday, December 16th, 1916, and the Isle of Man Weekly Times of that week, the front page specifically. Isle of Man Weekly Times, have we used featured them often?
It's alongside the Examiner, the one we use the most often, I think.
Of course, because it has, in the top left, Casey.
Hotel Sefton!
Advert, yeah, there we go. There is a lot to get through on this front page, Sam, so we'll just crack on. What caught your eye? Well, apart from the obvious, which we'll talk about in a minute.
It's hard to say what you're talking about there. Okay, I'm going to go for the US plane crashing in Mackled.
Yes.
This is a fighter-bomber pilot who'd parachute to safety, of course. But, yeah, it's this is back when Derby was still being run by the RAF and was still used as a training base. So there was a US plane that was flying back into Derby, ran out of fuel, I think it was, and crashed. The plane cost about $250,000 pounds. So that's a lot more than that today. I'd actually looked that up and I've forgotten what the figure was.
Oh, they will be. It wouldn't have been cheap, would it? And there's a picture of it where some of the wreckage in the forest near Mackle, isn't it?
It's all one of them. You look at it, you wouldn't think it's a plane, really.
No.
It's an absolute mess. But,
The pilot parachuted out, didn't he?
Yeah, I like the thing that he tried to... Apparently he was aiming to ditch in the sea. He was trying to avoid the cottages and houses in the area, so he circled to try and put the plane down in the sea, but it didn't work and basically hit the trees.
So it was near Barony Farm in Mackled. Oh no, so safely came out in Renab Farm, so it's in the rural bits of Mackled, as we talked about. It's a 20 foot wide crater. It bounced 100 yards, tore down a swathe of fir trees, and finally disintegrated into 1,000 pieces spread over a distance of 500 yards. So it made right mess, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it wouldn't make quite a noise, so I want to come down.
I'm still trying to get over the shock, what the lady in the local farmhouse said. Can you imagine that? You just, at your kitchen sink, and then you look out the window, and suddenly there's a £250,000 American bomber just coming down in the backyard. You would sort of think, oh, egg, wouldn't you?
You would a bit, yeah.
Anything else catch your eye, Paul, this week?
I was just looking at the Ramsay Fat Stock Show, which I don't really know what that is.
It's a produce show.
Yeah, I know, but cattle, sheep, and pig. Oh, okay, it's like a general.
Yeah, so you'd be like, right, go and get your pig for Christmas.
Terms of fat,
your turkey,
okay.
Yeah. I like the look of that one. I'll pay £2. There you go. They still do them. They are still very much a thing. There was also the story, I'll take up the sports angle, of John Surtees, who has announced his retirement from motorcycling to take on and concentrate on cars. Of course, he went on to become the Formula One world champion, meaning he's one of the very few that are a world champion in motorcycling and in F1.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact. What else? There's also, do you see the bit about Manx Radio?
Yeah, I did. I liked that. It was basically saying that. So this is the development of Manx Radio, isn't it?
It's before Manx Radio had become a thing. Radio Manx was the working
Radio
title.
Radio Manx it was. I think didn't it launch under that name?
Perhaps.
There's a blue plaque on the wall as you go up towards Birch Hill.
Okay.
And Manx Radio was first broadcast from a site basically there, where the houses are now, which was a field with a caravan. That's what they broadcast.
Yeah, if of course. A bit like our podcast, you know.
I don't know. I think we're a step above the caravan.
Just.
Yeah. Maybe half a step.
Yeah.
So this is, they're talking about it. And basically, what was most sort of important about this is that Manx Radio was going to become the first commercial radio station. So you only really had the government ones then, and BBC, which is quite astounding, really.
Yeah.
You know, you consider now you've got like literally thousands of radio stations across the world, and even in Britain you have like hundreds, and Manx Radio was the first commercial one in Britain, which is quite mad.
Yeah, it is.
So
that was the discussion of that, about that being formed. Grace, we have to talk about the main picture, don't we? Aside from the wreckage of an American bomber, what was the other picture on the front page this week?
The dodgy looking Santa in... He does look dodgy.
Why does he look dodgy?
He just looks a bit suspicious. I don't know. Maybe it's the glasses. It's a very thick frame.
It is a thick frame, like he's got a fake nose attached underneath.
Yeah,
that's what
masks
it looks like.
The glasses.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put it this way. You wouldn't get away with that photo if it was taken.
Why wouldn't you get away with it now? We haven't revealed what the pertinent fact of this picture is.
Because it says, a kiss for Santa in little...
Patrick School.
Yeah. And the kiss is on the lips, as it so looks like, with a young child.
Yes. So, Santa might know them. You know, we're jumping to conclusions here.
It's just a different time,
a different time.
I think we're judging it by our standards.
I can sort of see, you know, maybe the little girl's not aware that this is a bit wrong, you know, kissing the old man on the lips.
Well, yeah, maybe, but I feel like the adult in this situation, he's like leaning in for it as well, so it's just...
Whilst holding her pile of presents in his
hands. There is a lot of presents.
Yeah, it's more than one.
It just looks like he's... Yeah, it just doesn't look great.
Faces in the background.
They're looking over concerned.
So, if you want to see this picture, please do buy a copy of next week's Alaman Examiner, because it will be in there in all its glory. But before we move on from This Week in History, I think we should move on from the slightly dodgy Santa to Katie, the adverts that caught your eye, obviously.
You know what has caught my eye? In the bottom right corner, the Examiner annual.
Yes!
When did we stop doing an annual?
So, I was speaking to Richard Butt, our editor, about this today. So, you know we do Year in Pictures, which we're going to do over the festive period. Where
For
we
our
look,
bumper editions.
Yeah, where we look back at what's happened in the Alaman and through the lens of Dave Neil. The Examiner annual was like that, but then had other things like pharmacy rotors and other like important information. So it was almost like a telephone book with more pictures.
I found that edition on the bookcase and forgot to bring it in.
But if you look through it, it's got like weird stuff. Like it'll have the dinner dance from such and such.
Oh, yeah, it's got the adverts in it as well, which are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know when we stopped doing it, but I think it has been a while. Mm. And I'm guessing it took quite a lot to pull together as well, because it's more like a booklet, magazine booklet.
Yeah, it's a proper book, like with like proper covers on and stuff. So,
any other adverts? Obviously, the Vauxhall's new models are advertised in the bottom there. The Velux and the Cresta, 1961 from Ramsey Motors. Top right, is that a travel agent, Katie? W.H. Chapman?
Oh, I don't know, but it's selling tickets.
Just generic tickets.
Air, land and sea. Don't know where to.
Well, I presume you can decide at some point.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Katie, yesterday training, Manx Christmas traditions. I inserted the word Christmas there off my own back. I presume I'm correct, or are we just doing a generic Manx traditions round?
You were correct.
Oh, yes.
You were. I just wanted to give you a summary, which I found on Culture Vannon's website, naturally, of a lot of the traditions that come with Manx Christmas. So these have some Manx words I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm going to skip past them or ask Sam to pronounce them.
Times like this I miss Jess.
So some of these traditions we have heard about before, but some of them I think might be completely new to us. And so basically the Isle of Man, it's a very special place. Christmas isn't always necessarily just a religious holiday. It's about the foolish fortnight. Or, Sam, would you like to give this a go?
No.
En
Yinkigish Omar Jalili.
Isn't he a comedian?
Iranian comedian.
Yeah.
I think that's what it says.
So, we're starting off the season on December 21st, which is called Black Thomas's Eve.
Oh!
So everyone is going to stop work for 2 weeks of foolishness. From
okay.
this
Black Thomas's Eve.
Yes.
Are we okay in this current climate going down this route?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay. So this is an extract from a 1731 book called A Description of the Manx, which states...
This is going to be brilliant.
There is not a barn unoccupied the whole 12 days, every parish hiring fiddlers at the public charge, and all the youth, nay, sometimes people well advanced in years, making no scruple to be among those nocturnal dancers. At this time, there never fails of some work being made for Kirk Jarmans.
Pajamas.
Jarmans.
Hmm.
Yep. So
hope
many.
You like Jarmans too?
So many young fellows and girls meeting in these diversions. Nature too often prompts them to more close celebrations of the festival than those the barn allows. And many a hedge has been witness of, of endearments, which fear of punishment has afterwards made both forswear at the holy altar in purgation.
Basically, she's getting he's getting her in trouble. And they've gone to see the vicar about it.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
It's a bit like Black Eye Friday, this, isn't it?
It's Black Thomas's Eve. That's what
on
it
the 21st of December starts.
So it's always the 21st.
Yeah, amazing. Right. So they've got. That's where we begin in our 2 weeks of foolishness. So then we've got the White Boys, which is in fact a traditional play from this time of year, and is not a vigilante group.
No. Or, they're back.
Or a racist organisation,
despite what the pictures look like.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It's about the saints killing each other and then being resurrected, and there's a lot of dancing involved. And if you're watching the play, you are expected to donate, which today, maybe that donation goes to charity. But back in the day, you stopped work for 2 weeks of, like, merriment. You need to fund the merriment somehow.
They're not soft, are they?
So you go and you ask for money, and that goes on your ale.
So the White Boys are a thing again now, aren't they? And they performed at the Port Erin Christmas festivities on Saturday. I mean, I think we had pictures on on the Examiner this week of the White Boys.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then that brings me to my favourite tradition of Christmas, which is the Mollag Bands.
Oh, God.
So, gangs of lads with inflated sheep's bladders on sticks, roaming the streets and singing and dancing, and asking people for money for entertainment, or just jabbing people with the sheep's bladders on sticks and taking money. Yeah. All going into their houses.
Home invasion, we've discussed this before.
Yeah.
And trust the Manx to make it like a national day. Let's go and burgle someone. We'll just take a pig's bladder with it. It'll be sound.
It's part of the culture if you do it with a pig's bladder.
Yeah.
On a stick
On a stick.
Yeah. And then a traditional Christmas Eve service at church would even end in foolishness, where there would be carols sung. But then I can't find the answer to this at the moment. I will find it for next week. For some reason, after the carols, it would be then that young women would throw peas at men.
Wow, I could get on board with that.
Frozen peas.
Bag of bird's eye, just chucking it at Sam.
So
there's a lot of hatred towards me from you this week.
So I'll look into that and find out if anyone can clarify where or why the peas are involved.
Are we having peas tomorrow night?
I don't think we are now. Actually, it might be in a salad.
Mm. Oh, God, it's going to end in chaos.
Then December 26th, we have Hunt the Wren.
Yep.
And then on 6th of January, or 12th night, we finally say goodbye to those 2 weeks of foolishness with some super bizarre traditions, which I'd never heard of before today. So one is on the final night of celebrations, you had the cutting off of the fiddler's head, where the fiddler would lay his head on a woman's lap and would make prophecies about what would happen in the coming year, mainly about who's pairing off together.
Wow.
And then you have to keep your eye out, though, because basically a person hiding under a sheet controlling a horse's head would come into the room and start snapping at people and chasing them until you chased him out the room. And then that ends the festive period.
Wow.
Right, so hold on. So a dirty fella sticks his head in the girl's lap and tells her what's going to happen.
A fiddler, more or less.
A fiddler.
Yep. So in name and nature.
He is actually a fiddler.
Yeah.
And then a guy in a sheet with a horse's head.
No sheep, just a horse's. Oh, a sheet.
Sheet. You have a sheet and a horse's head comes into the room and chases people around.
Yeah.
Until he then gets chased, trying to bite them, until he then gets chased out himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm beginning to think the Manx were a lot cooler back in the day.
Yeah, so if you do want to read more actual in-depth and decent information about these, I suggest
about
going
Grogi
to Culture Bannon. Or Culture Bannon's Facebook page has loads of these on it. And I guess
sometime,
if you keep your eyes open in the papers, you'll find out where white boys are performing.
They are, yeah.
Ballad bands,
yeah.
Etc.
I would say, sometimes you tell us about these traditions, Kate, and I think they're all very lovely and quaint, and think maybe we should revive them in some sort of way, and they would bring a lot to society in 2020. And then there's stuff like that, and I think I can see why that died out, because it's very...
It wouldn't survive in the woke world.
No, exactly. Right, that's about it for this week's podcast. It's sad times, isn't it, team? Because it's Sam's last podcast.
Aww.
With us.
Yeah. I'd like to say it's been a pleasure, Sam, but I'd be
You'd
lying.
Like to.
Yeah.
thank you for the postcards.
Yes, thank you for the one we had from
Heartbeat.
The Heartbeat Country. I nearly said Emmerdale then, Heartbeat Country.
I'd like to just say...
One of Whitby?
The Whitby one was good, the Whitby Abbey one. But there's only one person we could never have done this without, and that is the support of Mrs. Kitchener.
Who I believe sent you a lovely card this week.
Thanks for that, Mrs. Kitchener. Kate, you was embarrassed, but I thought it was lovely.
Yeah. You did bring a tear to your eye, didn't
good
it?
Good luck at his new job.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
You will be missed. The personality you bring to the podcast will be hard to replace. Because I don't think we'll find anyone as grumpy as you.
If you're Grace on a bad day, she'll be fine.
Exactly. Grace is not as enthusiastic about Manx transport systems as you are.
Really not.
Or area plans.
That's a very good point. Before we go then, what have we got in your last examiner, Sam?
Oh, we're going beyond the area plans this week. We're going to Douglas Council. We've got problems with lights in lanes. We've got divestment of pension funds from fossil fuels. We've got so many other things that you just can't even imagine. Plus, we've got the front page with the questionable centre.
It's a questionable centre. That is a lovely way to put it.
Yeah,
questionable centre.
Yeah.
So there's a podcast title for you.
There we go.
Yeah. Paul, what can we look forward to seeing of your work in the examiner?
Continuing with the theme, there'll likely be something on Christmas lights.
I thought you were going to say questionable centres.
No.
I hope not.
Although Santa's on a bike, I'm not saying they're questionable, but they're out this weekend.
And it also, of course, the tractor.
And the tractor run.
Mm-hmm. Around
that's
this
a good
weekend.
One. If you've never seen that, it's great.
Yeah.
I think it goes up my way, actually, because it follows TT course, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Paul will be too old to see it on Saturday. Anything else you need to give a mention to? You've been working a lot on Christmas features, haven't you? So they'll be coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll tease them next week, I think. Katie, anything in the world of sales and distribution we need to plug?
It's Little Stars, isn't it, Grace?
It is.
Of
Little
course,
Stars
Tuesday,
next week.
Which is
a
lovely, lovely
very
supplement, isn't it? So it's where we send Dave to a variety of Christmas plays and nativities across the Isle of Man, and he puts some lovely pictures together, don't you?
They're very cute. He's already. I've got to work on a few of the pages. And
what's the R
rating? Like 12.
How many times were you looking through the pictures?
I'm like, just every single one. And some of the kids look so like just lost. So I'm like, that was me.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was once a baboon. And that's not in the nativity.
Is it not?
No.
Someone like played Lobster 3 in Love Actually.
Yeah.
So that's in the Examiner and the Independent.
Yeah,
so there's two separate
independent
supplements, isn't there?
Yeah, with different schools in each. So. If you have a child and they aren't in the first one, they'll might be in the second one.
Might be in the second, yes. We don't promise anything.
Well, exactly.
Right, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, maybe you want to say goodbye to Sam with a formal greeting, please do at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Or if you want to send him a postcard, which he won't get because he leaves the building tomorrow, please do at IOM News
Podcast. We will
Podcast.
Forward his post onto him.
No, we won't.
I'll burn it.
And she really means
just
that.
Just the Instagram post of just you burning
glasses. This is for you, Sam, but it's gone.
And she really does mean that. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.